What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another Wednesday edition of the 10 Minute Misconduct Podcast. Today we're going to start
that we record on Tuesday.
Today we're going to start on a little bit more of a somber note because the big news coming the past couple days and today, actually, the 19-year-old, I'm going to butcher his name and I don't want to.
Yeah.
Timur Fatsadinov. I think that's how you say it. 19-year-old.
I can't give tips on the last name, but I thought the first name was Timur.
Timur. 19-year-old defenseman for MHL's Dynamo St. Petersburg. He got hit in the head with a puck a couple days ago. Then he got put on life support because his heart and lungs couldn't work by themselves. And the hospital they were at, I guess, couldn't facilitate an operation. And he was, they're unable to move him. Like, once you're on life support like that, you can't really be moved.
Yeah.
So, because of all the stuff out of everybody's control, he ended up passing away. It sucks. You hate to see it. But what I learned here is no matter what, like, the hockey community, like, stays together and, like, they rally behind, you know, a tragedy when it comes to, no matter who it is. Like, I saw players posting about it. I saw, like, fan pages. I've seen TSN post about it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see that very much in other sports where it's like something can happen in a different country.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it could be like we don't follow those sports as much, but I don't see it.
Yeah.
And like with the, not to take it away from what happened to him, but like a few years ago with like the Humboldt Broncos.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up too.
That's a team we would have never even knew existed
had
it not been that tragedy.
Most people had nothing to do with.
Yeah,
but
and
they,
the whole community just banded together.
Yeah, so it is nice to see, you know, hockey as a whole kind of rally around and, you know, show support for his family and condolences and stuff. And I guess when I read it this morning, the family hadn't made like a GoFundMe or anything like that, but there were some out there.
Yeah.
So the family urged people not to donate to those until the family announced if they're going to make one or not. So it's just kind of fucked up to see people taking advantage and like trying to make a GoFundMe for something like that tragic. But thoughts go out to his family and stuff. You know, normally we're here for a silly goose time, but when something like this happens,
not
it sucks.
Yet. Yeah. But best wishes to his family, his friends, his teammates. Yeah, you hate to see that happen with anyone, especially so young.
Did you see the video of it?
Yeah, it didn't even look like that hard.
No,
it was just a weird...
I was only able to watch it once because in my head it was like, oh, maybe it was like a clapper from the blue line and he caught it in the head and like knocked him out.
Yeah.
But it was like a dump in, almost like a wrister, just dump it in. Like, again, I could be misremembering because I could only watch it one time. It was like from the red line, he's at... near his own blue line and it hits him in the head and he literally like, grabs his head and falls to the ice. And just knowing like the condition he was in after that, knowing he didn't just get knocked unconscious and like felt no pain, like he was in agony for a little while, and that I had to turn it off.
Same for me. So, I couldn't watch it. It was just a weird, I don't know, just the placement of it must have been
it sucks. T's and P's to his family, his friends, his teammates. Turn it around. Now, I'm not going to just try to make light and make funny right away, but I did see this, and I thought it was a record. For the first time ever, Florida hosts the game with the highest attendance in a single season. They had 4,721 people attend their game, the Panthers, and I think that's the first time ever Florida actually beat the entire league in attendance. They had 24.5% attendance
there. Their regular attendance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was worth mentioning because they're on a tear, apparently. Yeah. I think they've been the quietest out of all the league leaders. They're on top of the league right as we record this by like a point.
Yeah. I
didn't see that coming.
A lot of people too are saying Coach Q is in the running for the Jack Adams.
Yeah. Personally, I still have Brendan Moore, but that's fine.
I'm a big Coach Q guy, so I'm kind of
I'm not going to be mad if he wins.
But yeah, I'm kind of hopping to the Q wagon.
Hey, I mean, You know what?
But before we get into more,
yeah, we'll talk about that more. I got some notes on Florida.
I don't know if you have any more like funny stuff. I have a couple more, but yeah, just because it still feels too close to how we started this, maybe give us like the news and
okay.
injuries and shit first.
Okay, to build us up. that's a good idea. Yeah. Anders Lee for the New York Islanders put on LTIR, which means he won't play the rest of the regular season, and the Islanders can now use his $7 million cap hit to add to the roster. So look for them to make some moves before the deadline.
They're already killing it. So.
Yeah. Ben Chiarot, he had surgery Monday to repair a fractured hand. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. And I don't know if you saw this. I saw it just before I got here. I know you didn't want to be sad, but I have no choice but to report it. Nico Hischier will miss the next 3 weeks after having surgery yesterday to repair a frontal sinus fracture.
Yeah.
So another 3 weeks without Captain Nico.
And fuck you, PK.
Yeah. Not just for that shot, just in general.
Yeah.
Fucking dick. That's really all I have. If you have some, bring us up. Bring us up.
All right.
Give us some shit here.
So first, I'll start with this. Did you see Erik Karlsson? He said he wants the Sharks to avoid a rebuild.
Yeah.
And said, and I quote, "I did not sign here for that."
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but you're not helping prevent it either, EK.
No. No, he's not.
So, yeah, go fuck yourself, go fuck your contract, and shut the fuck up. How about that?
It could. Okay,
what other option do they have?
So,
you're part of the reason they have to rebuild.
I'm not talking about this season, but I'm talking in general. Maybe I'm biased because I don't like Drew Doughty, but who do you think is more overrated, Doughty or Erik Karlsson?
Karlsson.
Okay.
Especially this year.
I know
you don't like Doughty, but at least he's.
I'm saying aside from this year and like the teams that they're on, because they're playing a weird fucking schedule.
Even career wise, I say Karlsson. At least Doughty has two cups. He's a leader on that team for a long time.
I think Doughty's.
Karlsson was the biggest killer to the Sharks.
Oh, no doubt, because of what they had to give up for him, and like that turned into a fucking king's ransom in Ottawa right now.
Yeah.
He skates like the fucking wind, though. You know, he skates like...
Good for him.
I know.
You hate Doughty, and I used to love Karlsson, don't get me wrong, but I think as of now, I gotta say Doughty.
Also, the team that they're putting around Karlsson, I'm not saying he's the focal point of that team, but who you have behind him in net and who you have in front of him, like forward-wise, it doesn't necessarily scream success.
Okay, but coming into this year...
I'm off that topic.
Doughty.
I'm off that topic. I'm saying, like, because Karlsson's getting hate, which is well deserved. He's not doing much of anything, but he also doesn't have a supporting cast.
No, it's not all on him for sure. But
I was just curious
because fuck that guy.
I don't know if you hate Drew Doughty as much as I do.
No, I don't. You hate him a lot more than I do.
Yeah, I think I just hate the fucking Kings, man.
I wouldn't even say I hate him.
I think I just hate the Kings. I think that's what it is.
You do. You're still bitter about 2012, I'm guessing.
Yeah, real.
He deserved it. Do you have anything else, or do you want me to keep
going? No, keep going. All right. Keep it rolling.
New Jersey Devils equipment staff managed to misspell Yanni Kuokkanen's last name on his jersey the game Sunday against the Islanders.
Well, so, he's been doing work, so I don't give a fuck how they spell it.
It was spelt right the whole year. So, obviously, I know they have multiple jerseys.
Right.
Spelt right on Saturday. Sunday, spelt wrong.
I didn't even see that.
It's K-O-U, which is wrong. It's K-U-O.
Iridocyclitis. I-R-I-D-O-C-I-C-L-I-T-I-S. Iridocyclitis.
He scored with his name spelled wrong. And then between periods, like after the first period, they fixed it. Or after the second period. When did he score? Second period? That game?
I don't know.
Scored in the second period Sunday. So they didn't even notice it was wrong until he scored. And they're like, oh, fuck, we fucked up. So they fixed it between periods. It was right for the third.
That point, who gives a fuck, you know?
Yeah. I mean, probably Kuokkanen.
Does he, though?
It's just embarrassed. I was embarrassed as a fan. I'm like, really? We can't spell a guy's name right?
I don't know.
But I don't know.
That's funny. But I mean, in
it's not as bad as the Sabres spelling their like legendary players' names wrong. Like, yeah. Was that last year?
Yeah.
And they bought knockoff jerseys.
Yeah, or their score sheet the past two games. But we'll get into that.
Speaking of Buffalo, here's my last funny thing here. Did you see the Buffalo newspaper power rankings?
And how Seattle Kraken was ranked higher than Buffalo. Yeah,
so I got to give a shout out to Mike Harrington, the sports reporter at the Buffalo News. So he does a power ranking like every week for the NHL, 1 to 31 usually. Yep. This time it's to 32. He puts Seattle Kraken at 31. He says Bettman's hopeful opening night in October will be in front of a full house. And then 32, Buffalo Sabres, a circus act that deserves to be below a yet-to-start expansion team. So, and shout out to that guy.
He's not wrong, and Buffalo fans are supporting it.
Yeah, 100%. He's in Buffalo. I'm sure he's a fan as well. Yeah, he's not wrong at all.
No, it's a dumpster fire.
Of all franchises and fan bases, they have the most right to be upset. Like, because they've been dealing with this for how fucking long?
Oh, yeah. And it's crazy to think that a couple weeks ago, like, so Arizona's front office, like, doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, they can't. Like, they're just bad. Buffalo's front office is trying to do things and just wrong.
Yeah.
Constantly.
And they just make promises, like, yeah, that they can't live up to.
It's ridiculous.
Like, didn't they say when they signed Hall, they're like, they guaranteed something or whatever? Like, from this point on, this marks us as a winning team or whatever. And people got all excited, and I was like, maybe slow down.
Have you seen the teams Hall's been on? Have you seen what he does to a team? I mean, he dragged New Jersey to the playoffs that one year, but, I mean, I don't know.
I truly feel bad for Buffalo and their fans. The city.
No, I still, that fucking one guy.
They can't get a fucking baseball team in there to save their fucking lives.
No. That one guy who fucking just basically roasted Taylor Hall for no reason.
Oh, yeah. Like, fuck that guy.
So, yeah, no. Fuck.
But at the same time, I kind of forgive him a bit because, like, what he's gone through and the excitement that their ownership and their general manager gave them when they brought Hall in.
Yeah.
I don't blame the guy that much.
Okay, so I know
it's
a different...
To do it to the player's face, like, you're a scumbag. Yeah. But, yeah.
I know it's a different sport, but have you seen Bills Mafia?
Oh, yeah.
Like, stop. Fuck all. Like, they're literally, like, baptizing babies by putting them through fucking fake tables.
Oh, yeah. They're, just, like, they're fucking spraying ketchup and mustard on babies and shit.
Yeah, if they're doing, if hockey fans, or if those same fans are also, like, Sabres fans, I don't give a fuck that they're losing. Like, I don't give a fuck about those fans. You're annoying as shit.
Yeah. Listen, I got a soft spot for Buffalo because they invented the Buffalo wing.
Yeah, and That's your
a big
shit.
Part of my life. But I also almost got shot in the face there when we went for a hockey tournament with Zach and Christian.
So. Oh, sick.
Yeah, it was fun.
Look, you want to get into the fucking random stats that we keep for no apparent reason?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We'll go to misconducts. Only one this week. Zach Bogo Bogosian. He also picked up 5 for fighting and a 2-minute instigator penalty. That's his second of the year, I think, misconduct. So keep it up, Bogo.
Yeah,
him and Max Domi are now in a race to see who gets more misconducts for the end of the season.
Love to see it.
Goals in the first or last minute of a period. We got 11, 6 empty netters, 1 game winner, game tying goal, and 1 new one. A goal that was credited due to a penalty on a shot on an empty net. Erik Sinek for the Minnesota Wild was skating to an empty net, went to go make a shot. Defenseman took a penalty. They awarded him the goal.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
It's the first one we've seen all season.
Yep. Yeah, I'll move on to
what
first
a
goals
fucking
here.
Stupid stat to keep track of, you know? I'm what? Dumb.
First and last minute goals?
Yeah. That's fucking, what a dumb fucking thing.
Well, we didn't realize how big of a deal it was until this year, so.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to just fucking stop.
No, keep going.
All right.
Hey, I'm the guy that's still doing first goals, and it's fucking March. Like, mid-March.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
Speaking of which, there's seven of those. We got Kiefer Bellows, go fuck yourself. Andre Sekera, Alexander Carrier, first of his career, 11 games played, 6 this season. Dylan Gambrell, Gustav Forsling, Matt Grizzlick, and Jace Hauerluck.
Dude, I'll be honest with you, Kiefer Bellows, I'd fucking trade Kyle Palmieri to Buffalo for Kiefer Bellows in a fucking mid-round pick.
I'm real mad because fucking like 3 years ago, whenever the fuck the guy was drafted, I drafted him in like the fucking video game, and he was nasty. Like he developed to be not what he actually is. And then all of a sudden he plays the Devils and is that guy.
They said during the game he has 17 career games and 4 career goals, and he has 2 multi-goal games.
Yeah.
Well, and then he scored again.
Yeah, then he scored again.
Fucking.
And then I was like, oh, he's going to get another because that's what he does. And he didn't, but still good for him, but also fuck you. And then shutouts.
You get nothing. You lose.
We got Jesus Christ. Are you ready?
Yep.
Keith Kincaid.
Yeah.
18 save shutout, 8th of his career. They must be counting youth hockey to get the fucking, to get the 8, but good for you, Keith. Blockade, Wincade, whatever the fuck. Casey DeSmith, 24 save shutout for the 5th of his career, and Vitek Vanacek with a 23 save shutout for the 1st of his career.
There's your boy.
Good day, sir!
And now, for the 3rd week in a row, or 3rd episode in a row.
Yep.
Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yep.
Didn't get a shutout, but, so, I said the shutouts and how many has total, and you said...
I was looking at wins versus
Wah, but yeah. Actually you said Hasek, but you meant Wah.
Yeah.
And then you said wins.
What do you got?
You said wins. I thought you meant shutouts. Last episode, I looked up shutouts. You said, that's cool, but I meant wins. Well, I did you a favor by guessing shutouts because he was within 2 for shutouts. Wins. Fleury's 5th of all time with 481. Wah's 2nd with 551. So you weren't even fucking close.
Okay, I just must have heard the fucking shit wrong. I don't know.
But Fleury's only 3 wins away from passing Eddie the Eagle Belfour for 4th. And only 8 wins away from passing Bobby Lou for 3rd. So it's pretty much a guarantee he's going to slide in at 3rd by the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, God forbid, something happens. Hopefully not. He's having a great season. So, yeah, he's definitely going to lock up 3rd this year. And he only has, like, 800 change games played in his career. Right now, the top 3 guys, Brodeur, Wah, and
all
Luongo,
over 1,000.
All have over 1,000. So he's probably going to pass Luongo for top 3 and be in like the 800 rank, like not even at 900 games. So that's huge. I gotta apologize to Marc-Andre Fleury. I know you're listening to this. I've been shitting on the guy, calling him overrated for years. But that's impressive to like be over 200 games played behind these other guys and like in the same conversation. I mean, he's not even close to career wins to Marty, but there's a chance he passes Wah by the time his career is over, and he's got way less fucking games played. So
good for Flower.
Good for him.
Do you want to just jump? Is that it for shutouts?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, you want to just jump right into games? Because I have another guy climbing up some leaderboards here.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of games here, but I have a lot on a few.
Okay. Well, let's jump to the East, and we could talk about Washington beating Buffalo 6-0.
Yeah, go for
back-to-back shutout losses for Buffalo. How you doing? They had a 3-on-1 and a 3-on-0 in this game and didn't capitalize on either. The first one, Skinner passed the middle stat, who just slowed down, and the puck just was out of reach. And then the second time, that's the 3-on-0, Skinner gets a turnover at center ice and decides, you know what, passing it before didn't work. I'm going to take this shot. Miss the net. Hey, it's been the same size in the same place for 100 fucking years. Figure it out.
Yeah.
And speaking of the guy climbing up the leaderboards here, Ovi ties Phil Esposito for 6th all-time in goals with 716. So I think we said he had an outside shot at 5th for the season, depending on his start and the shortened season. So, I mean, he's tied for 6th pretty much guaranteed unless he gets injured fucking out for the rest of the season. He's guaranteed at 6th by himself, and I think maybe 5th by the end of the season. I don't know how many 5th is. I didn't write that down.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's all right.
What else you got for these? Anything?
So, yeah, I'm just going to say fuck Buffalo. the Devils are playing them tonight. So this isn't on a game. I just want to brush on this quick before I only have one game for the East. But before I get into that, I want to brush on this quick. Devils versus Sabres tonight, meaning Tuesday. So when you hear this, it already happened. So whatever.
They get it.
The Devils are on a 4-game losing streak and an 11-game losing streak at home. The Sabres are on an 11-game losing streak total, and their last win was against the Devils in New Jersey.
Well, I think
on February 20th.
I think that it's the Buffalo Sabres are, they've either lost 12 of their last 14 or 14 of their last 16, and those two wins were both over New Jersey.
Yeah. But the last one was over New Jersey, in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And the Devils can't win in New Jersey. So it's like somebody has to win the game tonight.
Yeah.
And
maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. They're going to bring ties back to the NHL, I think, tonight.
Yeah. Fuck the Bettman point.
And then talking about streaks here real quick before I move on. Islanders, 9-game win streak. Congrats to them. I don't want to talk about either of those games against the Devils. And they're on a 12-game point streak. They play the Capitals tonight. We'll see if it continues.
I do have something to say about the Devils-Islanders game, but it has nothing to do with the game itself.
Okay.
It's good. More of a note on the fucking NHL app.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
I got a bone to pick with whoever the fuck runs that. Now, going in, even using this app, you should know how shitty it is, because I think for like a full year, Keith Kincaid's picture was Henrik Lundqvist. Or it was somebody else. It might have been fucking Lundqvist in the video game. It was up Keith Kincaid. Plus it's fucking, it just buggy most of the time and shit, but I'm out at dinner I turn the game off. It's whatever. I feel
get like on was, with it.
Okay. I'm out to dinner. I get 4 notifications about the game. One of them was the end of regulation. Number 2 was the game was, won by New Jersey in overtime. And the 3rd one was that PK Subban scored, in that order. End of regulation, Devils win, PK scores. And then the 4th notification I get comes a half hour later saying Wahlstrom won it in a shootout.
Yeah.
I had to go look. So I was all riding high, like, cool, Devils won. Then I'm in the car on the way home.
Wait, I'm sorry, though, but what's your issue with the app? All those things happened in that order.
But it never said, oh, goal got called back or anything. It just gave me the notification fucking a half hour later. Oh, no, never mind. Fucking Wahlstrom wins. Like, yeah, yeah. Fuck you. You know what? Get Lindy Ruff ready, because it's a fucking joke.
That's a joke.
I don't know if the app is a joke or the way I feel about it is a joke, but something here's a fucking joke and I'm not happy.
I hate to defend this app because I have my issues with it too, but that's not wrong there. That's exactly what happened.
No, I understand, but you feel like...
No, I know. They should have sent another notification that was like, hey, JK, never mind.
Yeah.
Even if
I got like an end of overtime 2-2 notification like it normally does, I'd be like, oh, what the fuck happened? See, that I'm not going to be in a good mood at dinner, and then once I'm going home, I'm in a shitty mood.
Or at least give the notification like, oh, hey, it's going to a shootout. So then you'd be like, oh, fuck, then the goal got called back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all right, I see your point.
That's all I'm saying. We can move on.
Speaking of that game, I thought the same thing was going to happen in this one. This is the only game I have notes on. Monday, Flyers versus the Rangers. Flyers win 5-4 in OT. It starts off with JVR from Farabee, and then the second goal in the first period is Provorov from Couturier. They get the only 2 goals in the first frame to give the Flyers a 2-0 lead heading into the locker room.
Dude, take a fucking breath.
I'm trying to get through this one quick. I have a lot on it, so I'm trying to go quick. The second period starts out strong for both teams. 28 minutes into the game, the Rangers find the back of the net finally with a goal from Panarin. About 3 minutes later, they tie it up. This time it's Blackwell assisted by Panarin and Smith. And with about 5 minutes left in the period, they strike again for the 3rd time in a row, take the lead. It's Gauthier from Hedl, and Panarin once again finishes the night with 3 points, all those in the second period. Then Gauthier makes a difference in the game once again by taking a high-sticking penalty on Konechny with 1:30 left in the second period. 9 seconds into the power play, Farabee ties it up at 3. It's assisted by Giroux and Voracek. Then in the 3rd period, it's Kevin Rooney taking the lead back 3 minutes in. He gets his 5th goal of the year. Weird. And Gauthier gets another high-sticking penalty, this time on Claude Giroux. Draws a bit of blood there on the nose, making it a double minor. Giroux himself capitalizes late on the power play to tie it up at 4. Assisted by Voracek and Provorov, all 3 of them getting their 2nd point of the night on that play. Then Strome gets called for a hook on Hayes. With about 30 seconds left on the power play and 3 minutes left in the game, Hayes scores to what I'm assuming is the game winner, but it's reviewed and called back for offsides, and Wes McCauley takes his sweet-ass time fucking giving the call that it's offsides, of course. It's what he always does. And as soon as the goal got called back, I was like, fuck, this is going to go to overtime. The Flyers are going to win in overtime. It's going to get called back again. The Rangers are going to end up winning the shootout, like what happened in New Jersey, especially with Wes McCauley going. Because, by the way, those two high-sticking penalties by Gauthier, Wes McCauley tried to, like, he blatantly didn't call them, and then they were both, like, reviewed after the fact and called. It fucking ridiculous. So fuck you, Wes McCauley. And I lost my spot. All right, so the game goes to overtime. The Rangers have possession in the Flyers zone the entire first 2 minutes of OT. Flyers can't get a change, but somehow the Rangers manage to just pass the puck back and forth across the blue line. In that 2 minutes, they only record one shot on net. Sanheim finally tips it out of the zone. Flyers get a change. As soon as Voracek steps on the ice, Kincaid plays the puck right to his stick like a fucking idiot. Voracek comes down on a breakaway and just fucking embarrasses the shit out of Kincaid. Like, he barely made, like, a fake to the right, and Kincaid just completely fell over, left the net wide open. Flyers win an OT. So it was hysterical. Fuck you, Kincaid.
Dude, I could have made a sandwich in that fucking review. I could have left. You know, you sounded like, it was great. It was the Doc Emmerich of reviews of a game, but it sounded like
it
one
was
of those.
Good game.
It sounded like one of those commercials for like just some random fucking medicine, and then the guy who talks fast at the end saying all the side effects.
Yeah,
that's how I felt for the past 3 minutes.
Hey, I didn't stutter as much as I thought I would, though.
You powered through it. I'll give you a lot of credit. There wasn't a lot of ums.
I think I did call Vanacek. Fuck. I did call Voracek Vanacek three times.
Yeah, confirmed.
Three times.
Oh God.
That was for the Mass Mutual East for me.
I was impressed.
Oh, I got to take a breath and a sip of water.
Yeah, go get your fucking inhaler or whatever. Also, I wouldn't be surprised if someone restarts that and just goes on half speed to listen to the first fucking minute and a half of that. Let's move on to the Central.
Discover Central.
Discover Central. No review I have of anything the rest of this podcast, maybe ever, will be as in-depth as that.
Sorry. By the way, I'm going to start asking these three companies for some monetization because I make sure to put the sponsored divisions in every episode.
Isn't there four?
Sure.
You said three companies.
Did I?
Yeah.
Scotia doesn't fucking count.
Okay. Nashville, Tampa Bay, they trade games. Nashville wins the first one 6-3. Nashville wins the second one 4-1. Surprisingly, like, they play Tampa pretty well. Tampa in the first game, I believe that I'm going to sound like I have fucking Down syndrome the way I talk about this now. I don't know if I could say that, but it's going to be slow and I'm going to be fucking trudging through it because I have nothing written down. I'm going off memory.
All right. Take that extra chromie and get through this fucking review.
All right. Tampa Bay, that game was tied at one point, I believe. And then it was 4-3 Tampa Bay. And, I think it was a power play goal, made it 5-3. So then an empty netter. So the score was like closer throughout the game than the final score, 6-3. And then Nashville just took over the second game. Pecorine picked up his first apple on the season, and Patrick Maroon with a pair of fights. Love
nice,
to see it.
Nice.
Also, while we're on topic of fights, seems like there's been a lot more this year.
Definitely has. And I'm not trying to stroke myself off here, but I don't know if I said it on the podcast. I hope I did. But heading into the season, I said that people were saying, oh, there's probably going to be less fighting because there's no fans in the building. I said, nuh-uh. I think there's going to be more fighting that there's no fans in the building because the players, especially the grittier players, are going to need to get their team's energy up somehow, and you can't rely on the crowd to get your energy up.
Curtis Gabriel's doing it for San Jose.
You got to create your own fucking energy.
I mean, Curtis Gabriel, 3 games, 3 fights.
Yeah, one baked potato at a time.
Plain baked potato. So I'm happy to see it. Also, you got to think you're playing the same teams over and over and over and over again. Like, you're not
seeing
the variety.
Hopefully it sends the message to the NHL Batman and Company. This year, TV viewership has gone up like huge. Ratings are through the roof.
Yeah.
By NHL standards this year.
Yeah.
And I hope someone gives them a little elbow nudge. Is like, hey, fighting's up. TV viewership's up.
Yeah. Look at the numbers.
Just saying.
Look at the numbers. But it really is. Every matchup is like its own playoff series. And it's all those games count. Because they're all against division. I mean, I know all games count all the time, but
yeah, it's all divisional.
It's almost like
games
they almost count more because every game's a 4-point game.
Yep.
But yeah, love to see it. I hope that more division games is a thing moving forward.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like 82 game season. I'm not asking to play, you know, see the same game 15, 20 times. But if you can get 8 or 9 games in your division.
Boston, do they normally do, like 6 games each or whatever?
Yeah, it's like 5 or 6. But, like, I don't care to see Boston versus LA twice a season. Make it one time. I don't give a fuck where.
Yeah.
Or don't do it. Like,
I don't know.
It doesn't make a difference to me.
No, because that's, like, one of my biggest issues with football. Like, since they have such a short schedule, like, they don't play every fucking team. And I don't know. It's kind of dumb to me.
I'm just saying it might be easier to make schedules that way. But. Moving on, Florida beats up on Chicago this week.
Yep.
4-2 on Saturday, 6-3 on Monday. Patty Kane now sits alone at 5th all time in scoring for U.S. born players, 1 point behind Keith Kachuk, who's in 4th. So he's pretty much guaranteed to go up. Like I said before, Florida's on top of the league right now by 1 point, but nobody saw that coming.
No.
I don't think.
Not at all.
And I noticed, like, so some key players in that, obviously, Huberdeau, he has 34 points, 28 games played. Barkov, 34 points, 28 games played. Verhage, 22 points in 28 games played. He has 11 goals, 11 assists. He's also fighting, hitting, doing whatever he's got to do.
Love that guy.
And the thing I noticed, which was weird, is they're on top of the league, and Bobrovsky's 12-2-2. He has a 2.95 goal against average and only a save percentage of .905.
Yeah.
So it's not that great of, like, numbers for a goalie at all.
No, they're just fucking scoring like crazy.
And they're just playing the right teams, like, yep. In their division. Like, the Central, we've said, is technically they're in the Central or whatever this year. It's pretty much decided, I feel, the four teams that are there. I don't know if Dallas squeaks in over Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it's the teams that they're playing. Like, they played Detroit a bunch, you know, but they've also had Chicago's number all year. And then Driedger, he's 7-3-2 with better stats. He's 2.4 goals against and a .92 save percentage. So they're getting what they need out of their goalies, and it's not over the top performances consistently. It's just they're making the saves when they have to.
Yep.
I think that's a big difference between
they're keeping their team in the game, but yeah.
Yeah, not,
they're not winning the games necessarily for their team.
But, yeah, and they just look faster this year. Like they just look like as a team. You know what I mean? And it's just weird. Like, no one, I don't think anyone picked Florida to be leading halfway through the season.
You know what it is?
What is it?
They brought the original logo back on the reverse retro. That's what it is.
It's got to be. Those fucking jerseys are fire.
I love them.
So good. I don't have anything else for the Central, by the way.
I don't have anything else for the Central either. After that. That Flyers Rangers thing, my fucking fingers hurt.
My fingers hurt.
Oh, now your back's gonna hurt. Because you just pulled landscaping duty. Anybody else's fingers hurt? I didn't think so.
Yeah, you look a little lightheaded. All right, you want to go to the north or the west?
Let's go to the Scotia North. We'll finish with the west.
All right, because we'll preface this right now. Last week, the old 10-minute misconduct bump, we're like, the North is the new West to us. We just don't give a shit.
We gave a lot of shit about the North this week.
And then the West was like, we were actually interested in. I got to say, I didn't watch a single West game, and I didn't give a fuck about
Me
it.
Me either.
But I have some shit to say about some Canadian games. So
I do as well.
You start us off on whatever game you want.
I got 2 Calgary games here.
Okay.
All right. So I got Saturday, Calgary versus Montreal. The Flames win this one 3-1. Opens with 2 first period goals from Monahan.
I got a fun fact about Monahan.
Oh, give it to me.
All right, Monahan is the first player from the 2013 draft to reach 200 goals.
Oh, wow.
That draft also featured guys like McKinnon, Barkov, Duran, Lindholm, Horvat, Domi, Mantha, Buchnevich, and Gensel.
Jesus.
There you go.
Talk about a silent killer.
Not to mention, 2013, I mean, I know once people go through it, and it might be ranked up there in like the top five drafts of the past decade or whatever, or generation. Yeah. But I think I was going through it, and I think the fifth round is the only round that didn't produce a constant NHLer.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I think Vince Dunn was later. Will Butcher was later. It might have been either the fourth or fifth round.
Well, but Will Butcher's a bit of a healthy scratch these days.
But what I'm saying is, like...
But, yeah.
Like, even goalies were drafted. Cal Peterson was a sixth-round pick, I think. So, it's like, you know, there's talent throughout that entire draft, and sometimes people sleep on it because everyone likes to talk about the 2003 draft so much.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
the 2015.
Granted, yeah. Granted, two great drafts. I'm just saying, don't sleep on 2013.
Yeah. That was a great set.
Yeah.
200 goals. Wow.
Yeah. Go on.
Good for him. But yeah, the Flames outshoot the Habs 16-6 in the first period. They go up 3-0 in the second with a goal from Backlund, but Montreal is putting on a solid pressure in the second period. Eventually, Petrie scores the only goal for Montreal in this game. But honestly, at this point in the game, it looks like they might be able to turn it around, and they just couldn't. Both goalies were fucking perfect in the third period. Price finished with 33 saves on 36 shots. Markstrom had a great night, 24 saves on 25 shots for him. But yeah, Montreal, they can't be too upset with that. You know, they gave up the two goals in the first, but they had a solid second period and a solid third period, but Markstrom just shut him down. Do you want to take a game here before I do the Monday game for Calgary, or do you want me to just keep going?
You can cover the Calgary on Monday.
All right. And then we got the Battle of Alberta, which, talking about the 10 mm bump, I said last episode, I was like, oh, the Battle of Alberta hasn't been as good. It's not what we expected this year. They proved me wrong with this one. Monday, Edmonton versus Calgary. Calgary wins again. This one's 4-3. Main reason I'm bringing this game up, and it's in the first period. Did you see Jujhar Khaira get fucking knocked out? Like, lights the fuck out, lit up?
No.
As soon as we're done recording, I'm showing it to you.
Okay.
Way worse than fucking Melonhead Ernie. Like, he got slapped.
Good. I've never liked Khaira.
Me either. But yeah, he got knocked out.
A lot of guys I don't like.
No, you don't like many people.
No.
Brett Ritchie knocked him the fuck out. Early in the game, Khaira takes a hit on... Now, is it Killington or... People say Keelington, Kylington? Figure it the fuck out. I don't even know
if that's how you pronounce it.
Chillington, people say. But it starts with a K. How the fuck is it Chillington? Whatever. I'm saying Killington. He gets hit pretty high by Khaira early in the game. Flames weren't happy about it. And then a couple shifts later, Ritchie's jawing at Khaira just... The whole time they're on the ice during the whistle. They line up for the faceoff. Monahan gets kicked out of the circle. Richie's like, all right, I'm stepping in. He's taking the draw now with Khaira, and they're just talking throughout the whole thing. So you know they're going to go. Puck's dropped immediately. Richie drops his stick, his gloves. They start going. He just fucking pumps them. Gets a solid one to the jaw. It's like his fourth or fifth shot landed. And... absolutely knocks him out. Like, he was actually kind of scary to see.
You got knocked the fuck out!
His fucking eyes roll back in his head. He hits the ice. Ref helps him up. A fucking trainer, teammate, whatever the fuck. There's two guys holding on to him.
If it's that serious, I kind of feel bad now. I kind of feel bad.
But he fucking... when he hit Killington, Chillington, Kylington, whatever, the elbow is definitely up. Definitely contact to the head.
Went uncalled, so Thick Richie's brother policed it himself.
Yeah, didn't get called. So yeah, you kind of get what you deserve. You never want to see a guy knocked out like that, but don't play like a fucking idiot. And yeah, with two guys carrying him off the ice, he still managed to like completely fall. Like, his legs were absolutely like fucking spaghetti.
Somebody, he needs some milk.
But yeah, he gets off the ice, did not return. I don't think anyone's surprised there. But anyway, let's get into the actual fucking game here. It's a scoreless first period. Floodgates open in the second with five total goals. Calgary starts with the lead of two, goes from Dubé, assisted from Lindholm, and then Lindholm assisted by Killington, whatever the fuck, in Dubé. Chillington. Then it's Larson for Edmonton all in the first 10 minutes of the second period. They each get one more before the period ends, making it 3-2 thanks to Mangiapane and Archibald. Then it continues to be a physical game in the third period. The score sheet only said that the hits were 24-16 in favor of Edmonton, but watching it, it looked a lot more physical than that. So either they didn't count them or there's just a lot of like after whistle stuff that made it seem more physical. Then each team collects one more goal in the third period from Dreisaitl, assisted by McDavid, to tie it up. Then Hanifin gets the game winner for Calgary, assisted by Mangiapane once again, and Backlund.
Nice. That makes Calgary 2-0 under Daryl Sutter as head coach.
3-0, I think.
Sure.
Right?
They're undefeated under Daryl Sutter.
Okay.
Yeah. And they've played more than one game. Yeah.
Maybe it is two.
Edmonton fans shouldn't be excited about this team.
No.
Now, and I don't understand know why they you're in the top of your division or whatever.
But
let's backtrack. They're 7-0 against Ottawa, the worst team in your division, and they're 11-12 against the rest of the division.
Yeah.
Well, just in regulation. I didn't count fucking overtime losses or whatever because they still got a point out of it. But
they've been beat by Vancouver, right?
Yeah.
They've been beat by Montreal.
I think they've been beaten by every team but Ottawa. But yeah, out of their 18 wins, 7 came against the worst team in your division and one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
Nothing to be excited about. Sure, you have McDavid and Draisaitl. Be excited about them as players trying to win hardware, but you're going to make the playoffs and you're going to get embarrassed, most likely.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's great, personal awards, whatever the fuck, but everybody's here for a cup. Yeah. And, to be honest, I don't care if a player on my team never, if a Devils player never wins a personal award again, but we win a cup, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it is what it is. I want to talk about Ottawa and Toronto on Sunday.
Please do.
Ottawa beats Toronto 4-3, and surprisingly, this season series is tied at 3.
Yeah.
3 apiece, and now Ottawa holds more wins over Toronto than every other team in the Scotia North. They're the only team with 3 wins, at least against Toronto. Kachuk, who had a goal and assist, and Dzingel opened the score in 7 seconds apart, just over 6 minutes into the game. Hutchinson gets pulled at 6:13 after the second goal after saving only 1 of 3 shots. Yikes. Bogo situation happens at 6:47. Talked about that a little bit. Hyman scores. Then Batherson scores twice in the second period, 53 seconds apart, about 5 minutes in. The first one on the power play and the second one at even strength. Shots in the third were 15-4 in favor of Toronto. Hyman gets a second of the game from Nylander and Tavares. Tavares gets Toronto within 1-3 minutes later with just over 2 minutes left, but too little too late. So he assisted on Hyman's goal, and then he gets his own. But the guy I want to talk about is Joey Decord, because I've been saying for fucking weeks they should start him, and they have been playing him slowly but surely. He has another decent game, saves 33 of 36, and his numbers on a whole won't say he's like had these mind-blowing performances when it comes to like his goal against average or save percentage, but he's getting shelled every single game that he's in.
Yeah.
So every game he's started, he's made no less than 32 saves in a game. And he's only played full games against Edmonton and Toronto, which is just pure offensive teams.
Yeah.
And he came in twice to relieve the starter. Both games were versus Calgary. One, he saved all 5 shots he faced in 20. He saved all 5 shots he faced in 20 minutes. And the second one, he let in 3 on 18 shots in a game that was already downhill. I think it was that 7-3 loss.
Yeah. So give the kid a couple games against Vancouver.
That's what I've been saying.
And
just give
play
the kid
a little
a
defense
shot.
In front of him.
Just give the kid a shot. He's making over 30 saves a game against the 2 top teams in the division.
Yep.
With 2 of the best players in the world on one team who are leading the league in scoring, and then the other one with firepower throughout their top 9.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you give the kid a little bit of help, he's going to steal you some games like this one.
Yeah.
So
good for him.
I've been saying start him. He's making it work. I mean, that's really all I wanted to touch on is Joey Decord.
Well, look at you with the fucking predictions. Hopefully they keep playing them.
Yeah.
And like you said, Toronto's top nine. Recently, I was saying how VC was surprisingly doing well.
And he got put on waivers.
He's put on waivers. So shout out and to Jimmy VC.
We talked shit about Jack Johnson last week. Got put on waivers. And like you said, it took them to scratch him.
It took him scoring his first goal for them to get scratched.
I'm fucking stupid right now. I tried to read off my phone, and I felt like a third grader trying to read in front of class.
Hey, listen. We worked it out together. That's all that matters.
Let's move on to the West, because one thing I really want to touch on that I've been saving, ever since I jumped on the Dustin Brown bandwagon, he hasn't recorded a single point, and I fucking love it. I'm full on Dustin Brown.
You got to say you hate it. You got to keep saying you love Brown if you want him to do bad.
You know what? Fine. Well, let's go with that. Dustin Brown hasn't recorded a single point, so I jumped on the bandwagon, and last week...
That's too bad. We would love to see Brown do great.
Yeah, it sucks.
Come on, Dustin Brown. Pick it up. You started out so good.
One of the games that he played since then was a 5-goal game. Like, he didn't record a single point. They lost 4-1 versus Colorado. Then they got shut out in another game. And then last night's game was postponed because they couldn't even make it back from Denver because of weather.
Yeah.
So.
Listen. All I got for the West is that Vegas beat the Blues 5-1. But Huso was in that, so I don't care. If Binnington got shit on, then I'd talk about this game. But it wasn't Binnington who got shit on, so I don't care. Congrats to Vegas. You get the win. That's it.
That's it for the West.
That's it for the West.
All right, moving on. Let's do five for fighting.
Let's do five for fighting.
Both guys, 5 minutes each for fighting!
Last week, you went undefeated 5-0. Overall record 26-19. Last week, going 4-1, overall record 24-21. 2 games back. I need a strong week here. And
yeah,
you get to go first.
Yes, I do. We talked about it a bit here. It looked exciting last game. I got to give it to you. Edmonton versus Calgary Wednesday.
See, my heart wants to go with Calgary, but my brain's like the firepower of Edmonton. I'm going to go with Edmonton on the road to win.
All right. We'll see. It's going to be a tight matchup. I'm hoping for Calgary personally.
So am I.
But it's anyone's game.
But I'm looking for wins. So right now I might just take the favorites on all these games. I don't know. For you, I'm going to give you Philly and the Islanders on Thursday.
It's the second game I had. I got to go with Philly. The Islanders are the favorite, but it can't last forever. I don't know. They're playing Washington tonight. We'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I got to go with Philly. I'm going to give you Minnesota versus Colorado Thursday.
Asshole. Kaprizov, I can't bet against him. I'm going Minnesota. Going Minnesota.
It's about what I expected.
Yeah.
Although you're a big Colorado guy, too, but you fucking
not
love...
Not as much as Kaprizov.
You love Kirill the Thrill.
Yep. I'm going to go ahead and give you, since we always end up talking about their games, no matter what the score or whatever, Chicago, Tampa Bay on Thursday.
Okay. Yeah. I had that as one of my extras here. I think last time you gave me this matchup, I went with Chicago for the upset, but it's too hard to keep going with the underdog. I got to go Tampa Bay.
Okay.
And then I'm going to have to give you, a game that nobody wants to watch, but it has to happen. Vancouver versus Montreal Friday.
Oh, wow. Vancouver and Montreal. I have to go Montreal for Toffoli over Vancouver again. It worked for me last week. I mean, granted, Toffoli didn't score, but yeah, I'm going to go Montreal. For you, buddy, I'll give you a Montreal game versus Winnipeg on Wednesday.
Oh, wow. All right. I didn't have that. Yeah, I got to go. I got to go Winnipeg. They're just, I don't know, Montreal. Who knows what the fuck they've been doing? And then Winnipeg, just, we always talk about their fucking offensive talent there. So, yeah, Winnipeg.
I need 2 big wins for Montreal this week. I fucking hate to say it. I'm a Montreal fan.
I'm going to give you another one that puts you in a spot where you have no choice but to You literally have no choice. Philadelphia Flyers versus New York Rangers Wednesday.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Philly, because I'll never pick the Rangers.
Yep.
I hate Philly, too. They just have a better team.
They do. And I hate to admit it, because I also hate Philly, but they have a lot of guys that I like. And it bothers me.
Yeah, same. It bothers me bad. Let's see. I'll give you a bottom feeder game, Vancouver and Ottawa on Wednesday.
Okay. Vancouver and Ottawa. Fuck. I gotta go. They got Chucky. They got fucking Jimmy Stew. They got Norris, Whitey. All my guys over there. I love them.
Okay, so you're going Ottawa.
Batherson.
Okay.
Yeah, I gotta go Ottawa.
Okay.
Let me throw you. Jesus Christ. It's all shit games from here on out. You know what? The last decent game I have, I'll give you Calgary versus Toronto Friday.
Oh, shit. That was not the one I thought you were going to go for. Calgary and Toronto. I need wins. Toronto. I got to hope for the best. I got to go for the best here. Toronto. And your last game this week, I actually have two left. St. Louis, LA Kings on Wednesday.
Begrudgingly, St. Louis.
Because I know that Bennington's probably going to get the start.
Yeah, St. Louis.
Okay. Even if you win that one, I made you pick them. So yeah, yeah. It's fine.
No, it's all right.
All right. I think that's it then.
Yeah.
I'm done.
We did five each, right? I didn't write them all down like an idiot.
Yeah, no, we did five each.
All right.
Yeah, we're good. All right. I brought us in. You take us out.
All right.
You forget how to do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like your favorite part.
I know. Mike Milbury, Wes McCauley, and Jack Edwards, go fuck yourselves.